So this is already part six of the sixth instalment of Jill's story. And today is the 29th of March 2016, and Mum's here again in Port Solent with us for Easter. We've been talking a lot this weekend about Matilda, and we've already had an instalment about her, haven't we? And and I've been researching her background a little bit. It's quite interesting the kind of ethos, the kind of way she had of organising the household seems to have come right down to from what I can remember of how our household was run. So it is interesting how that culture persisted. But what we haven't really done in this series so far is talk about you, other than talk about your meeting my father and going to Cookham and so forth. I think we deserve at least a couple of sessions today about your childhood. So we should probably start with your birth date. Not that you remember much about that, but you probably remember when it was.
Yeah, 29th of January, 1926, the year of the general strike.
Right.
And apparently I was born in an intense blizzard in London.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, because no one went to hospital in those days, the doctor never got there.
You were born at home?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Right, so we were born in the hospital then. Uh-huh. There was no such thing unless you were on your last legs or something. There was a midwife came, mm-hmm. I think eventually, presume, but the doctor never couldn't get through.
Gosh, because of the blizzard, yeah. Mm. So where were you then? Where was the home?
That was Norland Square. I can't remember the number in Kensington, which backed onto Barker's.
Oh, yes.
Mm, yeah. Lovely, beautiful square. Crescent, really. It was called square, but it was a crescent. And I don't, of course, remember it. But I went back to see it in later life. And it was lovely. But we were right at the top. So my mother had presumably walk up all these flights of stairs. No lifts then. She was carrying me.
Can you remember what number it was?
No, I can't remember. Yeah. I did remember what it was because I found it, but I can't remember what number it was now in Norland Square. But that's where it was. And I can vaguely remember being taken out in a pram, sort of people's feet going along in front of me, and apparently it was Kensington Gardens.
Yeah.
To see the statue just of around Peter the corner. Pan, yes. Which, and so I spent a lot of time apparently in that park, obviously. And at some time or other, we moved to Byfleet in Surrey, but I have no recollection of that at all. I don't even know what it was.
So your mother wasn't working; she was just home to look up. Where was your father working at the time?
At the College of St Mark and St John's.
Oh, right.
He was more or less full time there, but I think he went on a Thursday afternoon. He went to Wandsworth Technical, somewhere in Wandsworth anyway, and then another afternoon he went to Guildford, and that's how I think we came to go to Surrey.
Right.
There's a rather famous grammar school there, and he went in the afternoons too.
What was the place in Guildford he used to go to?
The grammar school. It's a very old grammar school in the High Street. It's still there.
Mm.
Well, whether the school is, I don't know, but the entrance is. I think it's probably Elizabethan. Mm. It's quite a well-known, famous one.
Yeah, it would have been quite a trek, I suppose. Get the tube to Waterloo and so forth. Yes, quite a long way down.
Mm.
Yeah. So then at some stage then you left Kensington to move to Byfleet.
Byfleet, yes. And from there we went, I don't think we were there that long, went to Woking. I do remember that quite plainly, and it was rented, this flat, over some stables belonging to a family. I think they were called the Pearsons, I'm not sure. But they all answered to the names of Winnie the Pooh's characters. Which was rather, because I had to be christened as well. And I went, oh, I think I became Piglet. Or Roo, I'm not sure which.
Somebody small and bouncy.
Yeah. And they had a sort of lovely door through the wall to go through to their garden. But my father, I remember he built a beautiful living room downstairs in what had been a stable. And I was very impressed with that as a child. And of course he made one of his first absolutely beautiful garden there.
All right.
Which I really enjoyed helping him with as a little girl. I think that's when my love of gardening was born.
Do you remember the address in Byfleet?
It was Maybury Hill, but I don't know what number. Something Maybury Hill.
It's always fascinating to go back and see if these places are
still there.
But if it had a stables, then it's probably quite a big
house. It was a big house, property, yeah, but it was the stables, and then they converted it into a flat over the top. But then we hadn't got a proper, really nice living room, so they said he got permission to make this living room. And I remember that quite clearly. Beautiful room he made. Built a fireplace in, and it was lovely. Like a great big airy one.
So it must have been a bit of déjà vu for you then, when your sister Jane and Anne moved down to Ashley Clinton, living in a flat above a stables.
Mm.
It was quite a strange coincidence.
Yeah, right. Mm. It happened, because that's when I started school there.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a boarding school, but I was just a day pupil.
What was that school called?
I can't remember now. I don't have a very long walk there. But
did it have a uniform?
Oh, yes, very much so. And I remember the mother said, laughed when she came home, because she said, well, how did she get on? Was she nervous or anything? No, not in the least. This is a real little chatterbox. I can remember saying that. I wasn't the least bit nervous.
Can you remember the first day when you were taken to school? And
yes, that's when I went. Yeah. It didn't worry me at all.
Did your mother take you?
Quite happy. And there was a boy there who had a rabbit called Peter, a grey rabbit. And the boarders were allowed a pet, and the rabbit seemed to be the most sensible thing. And I always wanted a rabbit, but my father resisted it. He said, well, I know what will happen. It'll be us that be looking after it and not you. So the rabbit went out of the window. I had to content myself with this Peter
other
rabbit.
People's
there.
Rabbits.
Other people's rabbits. I firmly said no.
What year are we talking about then? It was early 30s.
I was five. It would have been 31.
And so this is what we would, I suppose, call, well, in my day, we're calling primary school, but it's
kindergarten.
The kindergarten, yeah.
And
yeah.
What do they call the next one? Transition or something like that. I forget what they called it now.
So kindergarten had boarding. People boarded at kindergarten.
Well, he was certainly a boarder. This
extraordinary, isn't it, to send people of that age off to board? Goodness me!
Mm.
And what did you just? I mean, people in kindergartens just sort of play and get in little play groups.
I didn't particularly remember singing, which I rather enjoyed.
Mm.
We did an awful lot of that, and of course we didn't. And I could read before I went to school. My parents saw to that. I didn't have any problem learning to read because I could already do it.
Goodness, well, that's pretty advanced. So, age of five, you could already read.
Well, I mean, I probably couldn't read anything in advance, but I could.
Had a singing
voice.
A love
of books.
Yeah.
Even then, people bought me presents. I didn't want anything else except books. Games and things didn't thrill me at all. Not games to play, necessarily. It was just books that I liked.
Can you remember the songs that you sang? Were they usual nursery rhymes? And
Yes, vaguely, I think. Things like... yes, we would have sung things like Nuts in May and things like that. Mm. But I think we got on to sort of Strawberry Fair and that kind of thing.
Oh, gosh.
Mm. And all those old ones.
Mm.
And we had to reenact them and that kind of thing, so that you all partook, you know, in it.
Mm.
But in those days, there was still quite a lot of discipline. And if anybody didn't behave themselves, they had to go and stand in the corner on a stool with their face to the wall. And one little boy, I've never forgotten, licked a whole piece of paper off the wall.
What, the wallpaper, Kate? Yeah. Something to do, I suppose.
No, a dancer's cap on.
Oh, goodness me.
They were quite horrific. Later on, I remember we had, if you wouldn't behave, you had a placard put on your back with whatever you've done on it. You had to walk around the school like that all day. It certainly didn't do it again, so I suppose it humiliated you. I don't know whether that was the right thing to do or not, but
yeah.
We survived, so...
Were teachers male and female, or mostly male?
No, it was all females, I think, and of course none of them were married.
Mm.
It was not allowed. If you married, you gave up your job immediately. It wasn't until, until I was in my late teens that they began to...
Yeah.
And the war started, people had, married women had to take jobs over, so there was nothing else they could do. They couldn't fight it any longer.
Mm. Any particular friends you had in class, other than the boy with the Peter Rabbit?
Peter Popkin, his name was. Because I was great friends with the family that lived in the big house.
Yeah.
They were lovely, they were a big family, and I have a lot of lovely times with them. Being an only child, it was great to go to a family.
Did they have five children. They have five, right. Similar age to you?
No, most of them were older.
Mm.
Most of them were older. But they were very kind to me, as I remember.
What was the family's name?
I'm not sure. I think I might be muddling them up, Pearson's, with a farming family from one of my aunts, but I can't remember what their name was now. They were such a nice family.
Mm.
It's stuck in my memory. I was asked up for tea. It was a great treat.
So what sort of games did you get up to with
them? Oh, a lovely time. We were hide and seek in a big old house. Was lovely. Yeah. And that sort of thing. Got a croaky on the lawn and...
with small yeah. Mallets, presumably.
Yeah, well, it was great fun. Occasionally, I was taken out by my aunt in a very large, square, brown car. I don't know what it was, but the impression was just this large, brown, square box. And it pooled up and down.
Lots of them tended to be brown for some reason.
Would it been Box Hill?
No,
it was... What we mean in sorry, there's a big hill, isn't there?
Well, Box Hill is certainly a place where lots of people went.
And we used to like to go for picnics and woods and things. And
it's not that far from Woking, that's true.
Yeah. When we came for nice picnics and things and... and another thing, a very strong memory of mine was going shopping with my mother on the bus, of course, because nobody had, not many people had cars.
Mm.
And I hated the butchers. I could not stand the smell of it, because in those days you had sawdust on the floor and blood.
Yes. Yeah.
And they chopped the animals up there and sort of. And I could not, I just would not go in. The sight of people chopping things up frightened the life out of me, so I had to stand outside the butcher's shop. Eventually the butcher came out to me and spoke to me, and I realised he was probably human. After all, didn't like it at all. shoppers, you know.
Well, they did tend to have all the carcasses and things hanging up in the butcher's shop, didn't they? Nothing pre-packed.
No,
things, you asked for a thing and they went and chopped it for you.
Chickens and things, they were hanging by the neck. And I don't know, I find that very unsettling.
So you must have got over that, because I remember going with you as a child to butchers in Horsham, which were not much different from what you've described as little one.
Well, you do, don't you? Yeah. You just grow used to these things. But I remember that it still was I really did hate going. Oh, we're not going to the butchers, are we? Yes, we are. And I also went, there's a huge, I suppose, a sort of department store, I suppose, really old fashioned one. And my mother took me there, and I got lost. And that was very frightening. I was found at the top of the stairs, a sort of quivering mass. Couldn't find her. So when I went down to find her, she wasn't where she had been.
Mm.
And there was just a sea of legs. And I couldn't find her. I was completely panic-stricken. And I went to the top of these stairs, and it's very kind. I suppose he was a floor walker. Came along, and oh, you lost little girl. we'll soon find mummy. And led me by the hand.
Yeah.
Soon found. Told you not to leave me. Wasn't at all sympathetic.
So was that a department store in Woking?
Must have been.
Yeah.
The one where they used to have those funny things with them. That sent the money down and on.
A little electric wire things, yes. Yeah. They lost it quite a while.
They fascinated me because my mother made all my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
She made them beautifully too. And she used to go and get material ready for this session of dressmaking. And I was fascinated by the bales of material being... Mm. Folded over and flomping onto the... Fascinated watching them doing how many yards, madam.
Mm.
Fascinated me.
Any other favourite shops?
Library.
Right.
Loved the library.
Mm.
But you weren't allowed... I probably told you this story before. You weren't allowed to speak in the library. Then anybody who spoke was, hush.
So how did you tell anybody what you wanted?
Whispered. It's much more strict in those days. You certainly didn't have yelling children running around. It was just not allowed.
Mm.
The child was taken out by the ear and left outside. But the thing about the library was too, I remember finding all these lovely books to read, but there was a lady in there. Well, I found out she was a lady, dressed, of course, in the current style, and dressed like a man with a sort of coat. And she didn't have trousers on, but she had a long skirt and very manly shoes. Quite a fierce-looking lady and a slight beard, which completely threw me because I really couldn't make out what she was. In the end, being me, I went up and asked her. My mother was mortified. She said, excuse me, madam, are you a man or a lady?
What did she say?
I can't remember. I was whisked out of the library. She said, if I ever said anything like that again, I would never go to the library again.
My goodness.
Mortified, poor woman, and I just wanted to know. It worried me. Ladies didn't have beards. Lots of men had. Most of the men had moustaches then.
Yeah.
And I never liked being kissed by men. I always had to sort of wipe your. It's horrible moustaches with food in them as a rule.
God. Imagine, yeah. Mashed potato from the previous day.
Full of tobacco. And, it's funny the memories you have, isn't it?
I suppose, yes, almost everybody smoked, didn't they, then?
Oh, so yes. Men did. Mm. I don't think many women did.
Mm.
My mother certainly didn't smoke, not then, not during the war.
So which parts of the library did you used to head for, then, to choose books to take home?
Well, the children's department, of course, you know. Lovely in there, all these lovely books to read. Bring them all home.
But stories or non-fiction and things?
All sorts of things. There was a series of lovely fairy stories, and I can't think what they were called now, but they weren't just ordinary ones. They were lovely, lovely books. I just went on from one thing to another. And I was always guided by my father, who was another bookworm.
She had loads of books in the house, didn't
she? Oh, goodness, yeah. I was sort of brought up with books everywhere. And I just loved them. Never happy when I curled up in a corner with a book. Either that or pencils, and of course my next passion was drawing.
Hmm.
And that started very early, apparently, and I've still got a little drawing I did. I was a skater on it. I've still got it, I think. A very young age.
Did your father teach you, or did you find you just kind of
just kept on wanting to draw, and so he just encouraged it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, he said, because I couldn't, pencils and these papers just got used up at alarming speed, he put a sort of blackboard all around my bedroom so that I could do things on a large scale, which was very sensible.
With chalks.
So that I could really, really get to town. It was, just the right thing to do for me, really. She would start drawing on the wall, but instead of drawing on the wall, I had this blackboard to do it on. It's halfway up the wall.
What other things did you have in your room? Can you remember? Other than
bookcase.
Bookcase. Did you have any pictures?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And later on, my father used to do murals on the wall for me, too, and my sisters as well. And made all the lovely toys. He made a beautiful doll's house for me one. And then he made me a Wendy house, but that wasn't until a bit later. I made it so I could actually get in.
Mm-hmm.
It was number 2 nursery row. And there were flowers painted on the outside of the garden and the window. And when he came home from college about 5 o'clock, he would come up and knock on the door. Can I come in and have some tea? And my little tea set. It was sort of ritual. So as you can imagine, a tremendous bond grew between my father and I.
Yeah.
From a very, well, almost from the start, apparently.
Mm.
And then being an only one, of course, he only had me to sort of cherish too.
Yeah. So what about your mum? Did you do things with her other than go shopping? She was a dancer, wasn't she?
She was, yes.
Mm.
But she, I did try and get her to teach me, and that's something I wanted to do when I got older. I said I would like to have been a, first of all, that was my first wish to be, but then a lot of little girls do. But I never actually went to dancing classes.
Mm.
And it was the same, I always wanted to learn the piano, but we didn't have a piano, which was a sad thing because my mother was a really, really quite a good pianist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now the things she played were advanced, and she just didn't have a piano in the house.
That's a shame because there were plentiful, there were plenty around, weren't there?
No.
I mean, I suppose if you were living in a
flat, it was possible there. Yeah. But when they got to Kent, there was talk about them having one, but my mother firmly resisted. She didn't want an upright, she wanted a grand piano. Well, you need a lot of room. Well, we did have a big room, which we would have gone in. But anyway, it never transpired. And then, of course, we were going to have the piano, one of the pianos from her home.
Mm.
But that wasn't to be because they were Matchwood, because the house was bombed.
Because of bombs, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they're not very much the remaining of the two pianos there. They had an upright and a grand piano, which I thought was extremely grand. one at the other. We probably would have had one of those.
Yeah, well, it would have been very grand. I mean, they've never been inexpensive items to buy and quite costly to maintain. And but if you've got the space and things, then what to do?
But it would have been no good because, as I say, when we had to leave the house and went to a flat in Essex, in Woodford Green, there would have been no room for... Certainly wouldn't have been room for a piano anywhere. It was perhaps as well, but I always thought it was a bit sad that she didn't have one because she could have spent a lot of time. It's something that she really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt it was, when I went to my cousin's, where I spent a lot of time with my aunt and uncle and my cousin Barbara, who was in love, but she was completely tone deaf. And they had a grand piano. And they taught her, and it was an impossible task. And I used to think, why did she have a piano, you know? But, you know, you don't hanker after these things, because you think, well, you can't have it, so that's it. And I did enjoy it. I would love to have learned to play properly. I was so delighted when my son...
Yes.
Let him play. If he wanted to play, he was going to have a piano and he would play.
What else did you have in the house? Did you have a radio?
I think we did, but it seldom worked. I think my father used to give it a thump on the side and it would start again.
Did you have newspapers delivered?
Oh, I think so, yes. And I had a... my father didn't really like children's comics, but eventually he gave in and I had the Rainbow.
Oh, my.
Always had the Rainbow, always. And then he tried me with the children's newspaper and I found it so boring. And it was ridiculous. Why waste the money, you know?
I remember a similar encounter with the Boy's Own paper. I thought, gosh, where are all the pictures? And
I love the Rainbow. Yeah.
Mm.
And there was always a historical thing in it. The Castles of England, I think it was. Which I like.
They did.
Which eventually did on the radio.
Mm. They did. The comics did. You know, they weren't all sort of...
No, they weren't all people funny pictures.
Mucking about. Being mischievous.
Well, the Rainbow wasn't. That's why he didn't mind.
Right.
He didn't like the American influence at all.
Mm.
Didn't like anything American.
I'm just time for one last question, I think. So I was going to just ask about cooking. Did your mum do all the cooking?
Yes, she was a very good cook too.
All right.
Very good. And she taught me to cook. And my grandmother was also a good cook. Mm. And my aunts, of course, were excellent. And they encouraged me. And I learnt by sort of doing the skivvying, you know. And
Were they using recipe books or were they just, you know, going by...
Yes, I think it did to a certain extent, but they weren't prevalent like they are now. You would have perhaps one special one and... But they were just things handed down.
Mm. Favorite meals? Favorite suppers?
Well, I think we tended to have a midday meal, and tea time was usually bread and butter and Marmite or a banana or something like that, and fruit. We only had cake at the weekend. I was allowed as much fruit as I could have. My mother always encouraged a lot of fruit. And even then, my father grew vegetables. He said they were more healthy.
So, yeah, very, very healthy diet then, it seems like.
Very healthy, and of course I wasn't allowed any dairy food, or very little. So I remained the thinnest child you could ever see.
Gosh.
Okay. I think